And this morning I felt the Lord give me a specific word. I was out of town for a few days last week. I was in the mountains. I love a bit of nature and mountains. And just spending some time with the Lord. And He spoke to me about a key aspect that I think is probably one of the biggest lacks within our spiritual maturity. I think whenever you see someone that is still battling to mature in their walk with the Lord, I think this is one of the key foundations that is missing this morning. And it all ties together. And I want to read a scripture from James 1, verse 2 to 4. And it says this: "Count it all a joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Back, dude, you're jumping the gun. "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in absolutely nothing." And so for you and I, we want to endeavor to have a life that is perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. I think that's a good life goal. I'm pretty far from that myself, but it's not a bad place to aim for. For you and I, for our lives to be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. And so the key thing I want to speak about this morning is, how do you and I, according to James, the brother of Jesus, move in the direction and move towards having a life where it is perfect, where it is complete, and where it lacks nothing? The New Living Translation puts it this way, the same verse. It says this: "Dear brothers," and it includes the sisters this time, which I'm appreciative of. The brothers were the only ones suffering in the first one. "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything." Is that the end there? Another translation says, "Let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." And this is what I want to speak to you about this morning. Probably the lacking key ingredient in most of our lives as Christians is the word endurance. Because we want quick fixes. We want the solution now. We want God to come and abracadabra, magic wand, solve all of my problems. And in the process, I learn nothing other than God is good, which I kind of already knew. However, when we stay in this place called endurance, when we stay in this place called perseverance, when we stay in this place where God begins to work on us, mold us, and shape us, He says that it produces a character, and it says that what happens is that when this endurance becomes fully developed, when we learn to endure, that our lives will be complete and perfect, lacking absolutely nothing. So maybe in order for you and my life to be complete and perfect and lacking nothing, it doesn't require the magic wand of God to come and fix all of our problems. What it requires is for you and I to toughen up, be more resilient, and sit in the seat of endurance and allow the process to take place. Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Very interesting, the word endurance here is hypomone. That's the Greek word, hypomone, and it means endurance. Hypomone, the original Greek word, means to remain under. So we read the word endurance here, and for some of us, I exclude myself from this category, are endurance athletes. Who laughed? This guy was supposed to run a marathon this year, got canceled because of wind. He is an endurance athlete. So when he runs long distances, it's how long can he keep going? How long can he hang on? How long can he maintain this pace? But when it talks about endurance here and perseverance here, the picture is this: there's pressure. There's a weight, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's difficulties and challenges, and to endure means to remain under. I want to take it one step further. So I want us to get this thing. Because normally what happens is we see bad things and we run. We see difficulty and we beg God to change it. We see pressure and we ask God to remove this. We see a mountain and God take it away. When God is actually saying, if you take the time to remain in this situation and circumstance, to sit under this difficulty, it will produce perfection in you that no blessing could ever produce. That the goodness of God could never produce. The gravity and weight of that pressure will produce something in you that goodness can't. But we see these things, financial pressures, relational pressures, fear, expectation, all these weights, whatever you're facing. And we want to run because we want the comfortable route and the easy route. So when the Bible talks about enduring and persevering, it says remaining under that weight and pressure. Now, if you look at the word hypomene, it actually comes from two Greek words. The first word is hippo, which means under. And the second word is brilliant. It's meno, which means to remain and abide. This is the same word used in John 15, where Jesus speaks and says, remain in the vine, abide in the vine. The same terminology used to abiding in Christ and remaining in Christ is now being used to abiding and remaining under pressure. You have to see this. Because we speak about, I am in the vine and the vine is in me, that if I want a fruitful life, I need to remain and abide in Christ, that in Christ is where I live and move and have my being. The same word is used when remaining under pressure. So this is obviously quite a significant, high value. Jesus is not saying to you and I, remain under pressure in an optional way. He's saying remain under pressure as if your life depends on it. Abide in that place. Stay as long as you can in that place. So the picture is for you and I to stay under the pressure instead of running away, looking for the nearest exit or solution, or trying to find someone that can help solve our problems, remaining and abiding in that place. It's not just surviving this time, but it's actually allowing this time to shape us and mold us and help us become more like Jesus. It is an active perseverance, not just a passive resignation. In other words, it's not you and I just trying to survive this thing and hope if I close my eyes and pray enough that it'll disappear. It's you and I looking this challenge in the eye and going, I'm going to sit here because you're going to produce something in me that the blessings and the favor of God could never do. This weight, this resistance, I'm going to abide and remain in this place because it's going to make me more and more like Jesus and take my life to a place where I will be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. So instead of wanting to run for the hills and choose the path of least resistance, the Bible says remain and abide under that place of pressure. Paul writes to the church in Rome and says this in Romans 5. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they are good for us. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. And it's not selective here, oh, God's testing me versus the enemy is attacking me. This is all of the above. Every trial, every test, every attack, every accusation, everything life throws at you, regardless of who he's throwing it at us, is for our good. They help us to learn to endure. Press pause there for a moment. So enduring is something we grow in. You might be here this morning and the only thing you can endure is this meeting and the sermon. You might be here this morning and you've walked with the Lord for a long time and you've faced many battles and you can endure the hard stuff and the tough stuff. But the reality is for you and I is that we need to continue to learn how to endure, to grow our ability to endure. Just as when Andre started running his long distances, he couldn't run very long, very far. But as he stayed in that place of enduring, he grew his capacity and ability to hang on for longer. And so for you and I this morning, when trials and tribulations and tests come, it is an opportunity for us to rejoice, because we get the ability to learn to endure. There's no shortcut to endurance. You've got to sit and remain under that weight and learn to endure. As we remain under the pressure of these problems and trials without trying to escape them, this pressure begins to produce an endurance within us. And that endurance produces character. It's remaining in these hard places and these challenges, in these places of difficulty, that makes us more and more like Jesus. It goes on to say that endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. So this endurance is not just for the sake of endurance. It's to produce character in you and I, where we look more like Jesus. Sit in that place. Learn to remain in that place and allow the process of endurance to grow you and develop you to make us look more and more like Jesus. Hebrews 12 says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with the same word, endurance, the race that God has set before us. You and I have been called to live our lives for Jesus, to run this race of life for Him. And it is a race, and it is a run, and it is something active, and it's something that requires effort. It's something that requires a price and a cost, but the reward is infinitely more worth it. So the writer in Hebrews says, let's get rid of everything that's getting in the way of you and me running our race. Every weight, every burden, every sin or area where the enemy has been trying to trip us up, let's strip that off. So I want you to picture this. Imagine you're about to start a race, and you've got a beanie on, you've got a big jacket on, you've got long jeans on, heavy boots on, you've got a bag on, there's stuff in your bag. What the Bible is telling us this morning is you've been called to run a race, but you've got so much burdening you, holding you back, weighing you down. And then eventually you get tired on this race and you start questioning, oh, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm called to do this. It's not working. There's nothing wrong with the race, and there's nothing wrong with your running. It's what you're carrying that's not of God. It's what's weighing you down, what's tripping you up. For some of us this morning, the past has held on to us so much that there's a rope. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's unforgiveness. I don't know what it is, but you've been dragging a weight that the Lord hasn't called you to drag. For some of us this morning, we're wrestling with sin, and you've been carrying the sin around you. We're starting to question, I don't know if I ever can do it. I don't know if I'll ever make it. There's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with the race. The writer in Hebrews said, strip it all off. Take it all off, every burden and everything that's holding you back, because you've been called to run a race. And this language of stripping it off, it's not go to counseling for 2 years and go on a 24-step program. This language is rip it off as if your life depends on it. Get rid of it, because it's costing you your race. It's costing you your life. Whatever it is that you're going through, counseling's wonderful. A 24-step plan to whatever it is you're trying to get to is wonderful. But ultimately, it's going to come down to you going, I don't want this anymore, because the cost is too great. It's holding me back from what the Lord has called me to. I want to run my race for Jesus, and this thing is tripping me up and stopping me from doing it. It's almost this act of wanting to, fearing for my life, wanting to get this thing off. I don't know about some of you this morning, but I don't know what you would do if I threw a big spider into your lap as you're seated here. Because that's the picture. Imagine you saw a big spider on your leg. What are you going to do to get that thing off? You're going to jump, you're going to scream, you're going to do whatever you can to get that off. And for many of us, we've been walking around with these things in our lives. Sin, past hurts and disappointments, whatever it might be this morning, And God is saying, I need you to strip that thing off as if your life depends on it, because you will never be able to call, you'll never be able to run the race I've called you to run. So we know this now. We know that we've been, that endurance is not something that the enemy puts upon us, but it's actually a gift from the Lord, that as we stay in that place of enduring and persevering, that it's a process of making us more like Jesus. We know that we've been called to run a race and to strip off everything that is not of God, to remove it as if our life depends on it. So the question is now, how do we do this? How do we begin to strip these things off? How do we begin to run this race? Well, the writer of Hebrews in the very next verse says this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. Jesus was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. He is now seated in the place of highest honor besides God's throne in heaven. So just press pause there for a moment. How do you and I run this race and live this life for Jesus? Not by looking at ourselves, trying to fix ourselves, but by setting our gaze upon Jesus, as Nadine said this morning, and following Jesus, by allowing him to lead us and guide us and to carry us, by coming into partnership and co-laboring with him. We fix our eyes on Jesus and we follow him. And it says that Jesus was able to endure a shameful death and go to the cross because of the joy that was before him. And I want you and I to know this morning that as we go through these challenges, as we endure, as we suffer, as life is difficult and tough, and we choose to remain in that place and allow the Lord to do the work he needs to do, I want you to know that there is a reward and a prize that is coming. And that prize and that reward is you and I looking more and more like Jesus. That there is a joy in every suffering, knowing it's producing the character of Christ within each and every one of us. This faith that it speaks about is a faithful endurance rooted in God. It's not man-made or our own ability. Maybe you're here this morning and you've tried a million times to fix this thing, to break this thing. I've gotten up a million times and I've tried to quit this thing a million times and it hasn't worked. I want to say to you this morning, try again, endure again, get back into that seat again, sit under that weight again, and allow the Lord to once more show you his faithfulness, show you his kindness, show you his restoration and redemption for your life. I don't know if you're here this morning and you've given up on certain areas in your life. I've done that before. God, I'm never going to get breakthrough. This is never going to change. And we settle for less than what God has for us. And I want to say to you this morning, get up and try again. Give it one more go, because that endurance is going to produce something within you that nothing else can. Only sitting and remaining under that weight, in that trial, in that tribulation, can produce what God is trying to produce in you. Let 2026 be the year that you and I get rid of every weight, every burden, every distraction, every sin that holds us back from running the race that God has called us to run. Let it be the year we strip it all off and go, God, I'm going to run like never before. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, God, that dwells within me. This could be the greatest year of your life. It doesn't mean it's going to be absent of pressures and absence of trials and tribulations. What it means is that Jesus is present in every single one of those things with you. And if we stick it out, if we stand our ground, if we remain in those places, we will come out the other side looking more and more like Jesus. So I want to tell you this morning, there is a race set before us that every one of us has been called to run. You can't run my race and I can't run your race, but we run together. This race is the life that we've been called and created to live. The life that Jesus has placed before you. We need to run this race with endurance, because there will be times when it is difficult. There will be times when it is tough. There will be times when we want to give up. And we need to run with endurance to remain and stay in that place. We need to resist the temptation of trying to escape or take the easier and more comfortable route. These difficult moments shape us and mold us. When we remain under this pressure, it produces perseverance in us. And when our perseverance is fully grown, when you and I learn to persevere and endure as mature followers of Christ, it says that our lives will be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. And ultimately, this perseverance, this endurance, this resilience, you and I becoming tougher and stronger, it makes us look more and more like Jesus. So I want to say this morning, don't give up. Don't give up when it gets tough. Don't look for the nearest exit when you're feeling the weight of pressure. Stand firm. Stand strong. Whatever it is you might be facing, you are not alone in this. Jesus is with you and we are in this together. But whatever you do, stand your ground. Don't shrink back. Don't retreat. Don't give up. Remain under the pressure so they can produce perseverance and bring us into that place of perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. C.S. Lewis says this, and it's a beautiful quote. Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary thing. Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary thing. I don't know about you, I've been through some things in life. I have faced some giants. I've had to climb some mountains, cross some valleys, had some challenges. And for me, it's often very difficult to relate to someone that hasn't. I'm like, good for you, I'm happy for you. Yeah, that's great. But I like to walk alongside people that have some scars. I like to walk alongside some people that have some bumps and bruises. I like to walk along some people that have had to face some giants, that have had to go through some challenges. I like to walk alongside some people that have failed over and over again. People that their knees are scuffed and dirty because they've fallen and fallen and fallen. Because when I look at you and you're still walking, I know that you have endurance. When I look at you and you're still fighting, I know you've got courage. When I look at you and you're still choosing to carry on despite having fallen, despite being disappointed, when you still get up day after day and follow Jesus, I look at a person like that and I go, I see myself. I can relate with that. And so I want you to know this morning that God has extraordinary things for your life. But those extraordinary things are often on the other side of enduring. We need to be a people that learn to endure, that learn to be tough. I want to read a passage of scripture where Jesus speaks about challenges, trials, and persecutions. In Luke, this is Jesus speaking, and he says this. Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you." This is quite a strong warning. Jesus is telling them of the persecution that's coming. They will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate before how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by your parents and your brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Another translation says your lives will be saved. So Jesus speaks to these followers and says, all of this persecution is going to come. All of these things are going to happen. You will be persecuted. You'll be betrayed. You'll be put to death. And he says right at the end, by your endurance, your lives will be saved by your ability to sit in that pressure and trust God, by your ability to sit under that weight and to remain and abide, not looking to escape, not looking to run away. This is how your lives will be saved. Endurance. We need to become a people that endure. The NIV says this in Luke 21:19. The same passage of Scripture says, by standing firm, you will gain life. By standing firm, you will gain life. My encouragement for us this year, can we collectively become a people that not only see the value and significance of enduring, but commit to it? That when life gets tough, we stand our ground and we stand firm. That when life gets difficult and we're facing great adversaries and great affliction, that we don't shrink back, but that we stand up with great courage, with great boldness, and we learn and grow in our ability to endure. Can we become a people who are resilient and tough? Toughness is one of the qualities that is missing most in our world today. Mental illness has replaced toughness. Every time we are required to be tough, it's not good for my mental health. No. We need to grow in endurance. We need to grow in resilience. We need to become tougher so that no matter what the world throws at us, we stand our ground and we stand firm, because Jesus promises us this, that we will win and gain our lives when we stand our ground. Can we become a people who remain under pressure, knowing that that pressure produces a perseverance and endurance and makes us more and more like Jesus? My final two scriptures before I close this morning. Hebrews 10:36 says this. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that He has promised. For us this morning, many of us maybe have had prophetic words over our lives, and we're waiting for those prophetic words. Many of us have said prayers, and we're waiting for those prayers to be answered. And we're thinking, if I can do X, Y, and Z, if I can do this and that, then maybe those promises will be answered. Maybe those prayers will be answered. And God is saying to you and I this morning, to the one who learns to endure, he will receive all the promises. To the one who learns to endure, he will save his life. To the one who learns to endure, he will become more and more like me. James 1:12 says this. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. There are promises that are linked to a condition, and that condition is called enduring. There are promises for you and I, the crown of life, the promises of God, a perfect and complete life, lacking nothing, that is not about your ability to be holy and righteous and perfect. It's about your ability that when times get tough, I put my big boy pants on and I stand firm and I stand my ground. There are promises linked directly to your ability to persevere and endure. And these aren't light promises. These are promises that you and I will receive the crown of life to those who endure and stand firm. The promises are that you and I, when we stand firm and endure, that every promise God has will be ours. The promise is for you and I that when we learn to remain under that place of suffering, of difficulty, of pressure, that if you stay there long enough, if you endure there long enough, not only is there a joy knowing the reward that comes afterwards, but you and I will be made perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So my message for us this morning, toughen up. Don't be tossed back and forward so easily. Don't allow every wind and wave to come and knock you off of God's purpose and plan for your life. Don't allow every challenge and situation and circumstance to intimidate you. Every time there's a difficulty, don't run away thinking this is not of God. In fact, not only is it of God, it will make you more like God as you stay in that place. What I would love for us as a group of people to become immovable and unshakable in our faith and our walk with the Lord, that no matter what the enemy throws at me, I'm standing firm, I'm standing my ground, because I have chosen to learn how to endure. And for some of us this morning, maybe this is a very new concept and a new conversation. But wherever you are at with your journey with the Lord, start learning to endure today. Start learning to become tough today. Start learning to become resilient and resolute today. What the world needs more than ever is not cowering Christians. What the world needs more than ever are courageous followers of Christ. That when the world looks at you and everything's going wrong, you stand firm and they go, I don't know what it is that he knows, but there's something in him that I need. There's something in him that I want, because he's unmovable and unshakable. Can we as a group of people this year not just be speakers of the word, but be doers of the word? Not just say grand things of Christianity, but begin to live them out in such a way that no matter what happens, I have set my mind to follow Jesus and nothing is taking me off of that. I'm looking around this room. I know some of your stories and some of you have been to hell and back, and I'm not undermining that or diminishing that, but what I'm telling you is that doesn't define you. What defines you is not where you've come from, but where you're going and who you're following, and that is the person of Jesus. That defines you. And that every test you're facing right now could be the greatest testimony. What feels like it's breaking you right now could be the very breakthrough that God is bringing into your life. I wonder if we could all just stand to our feet. I want to pray for us as a people. Before we close our eyes in prayer, I want you to look at me. We need to be tough. And that scripture said, brothers and sisters, count it all a joy. Because I tell you what, when the moms, the wives, the sisters, the daughters in the house are strong and tough and resilient, it brings a strength to the family and body of God that nothing the man can do. Like nothing the man can do. There's something of a resilient woman that carries a strength and a perseverance. This is not a masculine attribute. This is a Christ-like attribute. So I want to speak to the daughters and the moms in the house today. You've been called to be strong, not only for yourself, but for those around you. You've been called to model what it means to be a daughter of the Most High God. Whatever is holding you back, shame, guilt, fear, insecurity, strip that thing off as if your life depends on it. Because not only does your life depend on it, the person's life next to you depends on it. Because there are people in this room that need you to be strong for their sake. Because they're young and they're weak and they're battling and they need someone to come alongside them and say, I've got you, let's go. So your endurance is not just for yourself, it's for those around you. And so I want to say to us this morning, can we grow up? Can we not be offended by every little thing? Can we not, every little thing makes us wobble and the world is crumbling down. Can we be tough? Can we grow up? Can we endure? Can we be a people that keep getting up? I'm not saying to us this morning, don't fall. I'm saying let's get up every time we do. Every time we do, let's get up and continue on this walk that God has called us on to run this race, removing everything that is not of Him, that we can run freely, wildly, and wholeheartedly after Jesus.